and gentlemen, we now present George Edwards in Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Hetty committed suicide? Where?
At the place where she was living. She'd been told to come along to police headquarters to answer some questions. Went upstairs to put on her hat. She didn't come down. When we went up, she'd done herself in. A razor done the trick.
Good Lord.
Dr. Jekyll,
Henry.
Sir, why, what's the matter?
He's fainted. Get me some brandy, Poole. There's some on the table over there.
Did he happen to know the young woman?
I don't know. I don't think so. This whole business has upset him pretty badly. He was to have been married to Mr. Utterson's daughter in a couple of weeks' time.
Yes, I suppose she won't feel much like getting married now. I tell you, sir, in all my experience, I've never seen a nastier job than that one. Hardly a bone left whole in his body.
Yes. Yes, I know.
Respectable old gentleman, too. Wonder what he was doing in a place like that.
He'd gone down there to try and buy the house on behalf of a client, I understand.
You don't say. That man Hyde must be a devil and no mistake. What did he want to kick him to death for if that was all he had against him?
Feeling better, old man? Yeah, take a little more of this and lie still.
You gave us quite a turn, sir, going off like that.
I'm ashamed of myself. I can't think what came over me.
You need a holiday. That's what's the matter with you. You've been stuck away in this place day and night. Blessed if I can think what keeps you here.
Queer-looking place, if you'll excuse me for saying so, sir. What's all them big glass jars and long twisted bits of piping?
They're retorts for chemical experiments. Oh. Dr. Jekyll's a well-known scientist.
Oh, I see.
Feeling better, sir?
Yes, thanks, Poole. I'll be all right now.
Better let me get you something to eat, sir. You've hardly touched a bit since yesterday.
Well, that's a good idea. We'll all go back to the house and shut this place up. It's enough to get on one's nerves without anything else.
You all go ahead. I've something I want to do. I won't be long.
Well, can't I do it for you?
No, oh no. Please go, all of you. I'm really better now. I can manage for myself. Get them something to eat, Poole. Something hot and strong. I feel I need it rather badly.
Yes, sir. I'll go right away, sir.
That's a healthier sound, old man. I can see I'll have to take you in hand. Come along, officer.
Yes, sir.
We'll go across. Dr. Jekyll won't be long.
Hetty. David Markham. My mother. Then my father. Utterson. And now, Hetty. Oh, God. God forgive me. This is the trail of Hyde. Misery and ruin, sorrow and disgrace. And murder. I have done this. I, alone. Oh, let me wipe him from my existence. Let me make certain that never, never can this hideous monstrosity that walks in the guise of man pursue his frightful course again. To destroy the secret tincture that is necessary to transform me into... There. It spills across the floor like blood. Like human blood. Oh, that I could get that vision of the old man's blood out of my mind. And now, I'll go and lock that outer door. I'll lock it, grind the key under my heel, so that never again can I pass through. That was the door to my infamies. Let it be closed forever. And then, perhaps in time, I'll cease to be afraid. I'll learn to live as other men, not in this hell of fear that he'll return. Oh, God. Oh, God. Have pity on me, God. What am I going to do to redeem myself in your eyes and in the eyes of men?
Today.
Yes, Miss Margaret, much better. He's sitting in the sun out in the garden. Would you care to go out this way?
Yes, I will. I brought these flowers for him. They looked so pretty in the shop window. I thought they might make him feel better.
I think the sight of you, miss, will do more than any flowers.
That's nice of you, Poole. But I'm afraid I'm not very cheerful company these days.
We were talking about you in the servants' hall only this morning. If you'll excuse us for taking the liberty, miss. And we were saying that it was nothing short of wonderful the way you've borne up through it all.
I've had kind friends to help me, Poole.
As if the one thing wasn't enough without poor Mr. Henry getting took so bad. Dr. Lanyon was saying that if it hadn't been for you and the way you stayed with him and looked after him, he doesn't think he'd ever have come round the way he has.
How did he seem this morning?
Oh, a good deal brighter. Ask me what was in the papers, if you please.
Really? Well, that is a good sign. It's the first sign of interest he's shown for weeks.
I think you'll find him a good deal brighter in lots of ways when you see him.
Then I'll go out right away. Thank you, Poole. I appreciate all you've done for me.
It's been a pleasure, miss. A real pleasure.
Is that you, Margaret? I think I must have been in some sort of a daydream. I didn't hear you coming.
I came over the lawn. No, don't get up. Let me sit here beside you.
Ah, it's time I gave up these invalid ways. I'm really quite strong again. See? I don't need a stick anymore.
Oh, that's fine. Will we go for a little walk? It's just lovely in the sun today.
Give me your arm. I'll see just how far I can go. I'll bet I can manage to the end of the square.
Oh, don't be too ambitious. I don't want to have you going back to bed again.
Oh, I promise you I won't do that. The weakness is passing now. I'm starting to think clearly again. I could even remember some formulas quite easily last night.
Oh, please don't overdo it, dear. You've got to get really strong before you even think of work again.
How are things going down at the clinic? Have you been down there recently?
Yes, yesterday afternoon. Nurse Peters and Hugh are doing a wonderful job.
Oh, now, don't tell me they don't miss me at all. That would be too much to put up with.
Never fear about that. I was besieged with people asking how you were. It'll be a great day down there when you're well enough to come back to them.
Do you really mean that, Margaret?
Of course I do. Why do you ask?
I just want you to repeat it. It comforts me somehow to feel that I've done some good in the world.
You? Why, whatever are you talking about? There's no other person I know who'd given so much of himself to others. Your whole breakdown was due to overwork.
And now, I'm beginning to long to get back to it.
Oh, but you mustn't. You've got to rest for a long time yet. Henry, why can't we get married quietly and go away together so that I can look after you?
Please,
oh,
dear.
Yes, yes, I know we've been through all this before, but you don't convince me. The fact that you've had a bad breakdown doesn't mean that things have changed between us.
I've got to be certain that was the reason for it. These things may have deeper causes than we know.
What do you mean?
I can only put it in one way. If someone came to me and said a man had had the kind of nervous collapse that I had had, and that he was going to get married immediately after it, I would say that he had no right to do so.
Henry, you're not serious.
Oh, Margaret, darling, surely you must realize that these things don't happen by accident.
Oh, what are you hinting at? Don't let's talk of things like that. You wouldn't if you were really well.
All right. All right. Let's enjoy the sunshine and each other's company.
You've spoiled everything. Why did you want to say those things?
I'm sorry, sweet. I'm sorry. But they're in my mind always.
It can't be that you're afraid there may be some sort of, well, mental derangement.
I can't say yet. It's too early to tell.
Oh, no. No, not you, Henry. Not you of all people. I won't have it. It isn't possible.
Hush, darling, please don't. Oh, what a fool I am. Now, come. And I will say no more about it now. Perhaps you're right. And these things are only the stupid fancies of a sick man.
Look here, old man. What's this balderdash you've been talking to Margaret? Poor girl came to me in a terrible state this afternoon.
What did she say, Hugh?
That you'd got some fantastic idea that this illness of yours might have some other cause than overwork.
And mightn't it?
Oh, might? But it would take a lot to convince me there was anything wrong with you.
Why?
Do I have to answer that? You know yourself better than I do.
And that's the answer, Hughie, old friend. I know myself better than you do, than anybody else in existence does. And that's why I feel I have no right to marry Margaret Utterson.
What? You're not serious.
Never more so in my life.
You'll break her heart.
I can't tell you any more than what I say now. But I tell you, Hugh, that I have forfeited all right to marry Margaret, or any other woman I shall ever meet. Now, don't ask me why. It's the truth. And it is the knowledge of that that has made me what I am. A man old before his time, broken in health. And my hair turned white before I'm 30 years of age.
Ajax cuts grease faster than any other leading cleanser.
Use the pain, the elbow packs, when you start cleaning with Ajax.
Ajax really polishes as it cleans.
So use Ajax, bum, bum, the foaming cleanser. Bump the dirt right down the drain.
My gosh, they're right. Foaming action Ajax makes even the dirtiest pan shine like new in a jiffy.
So use Ajax!
Ladies and gentlemen, we now present George Edwards in Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Henry, have you told Margaret this?
I said something about it this afternoon.
No wonder the poor girl was upset. You shouldn't have done it, you know. It isn't fair to her.
Was ever a man in such a predicament as I am? What am I to do? She wants me to marry her right away so that we can go away together and she can nurse me back to health.
Sounds a jolly good idea to me.
Oh, how can you as a medical man say that? Heaven only knows what this illness of mine might mean.
You're not getting the idea that you may be not sound mentally.
Precisely what I do mean.
Oh, rot.
Anyway, I'm not taking the risk. I'll have to be very certain before I go any further.
All right, old chap. If you feel that way about it, there's nothing I can do. But I think you're causing unnecessary unhappiness to a woman who's already had more than she can stand.
Don't think that I'm not aware of it. I know what she's done for me in the last few weeks.
You were unconscious a lot of the time. You couldn't have known the way she watched over you.
All the same, I think I did know. I was wandering through the darkest pits of Hades. It was the feel of her little hand in mine that brought me back again.
Don't let go. You're not so firmly on the road to health yet, you know.
You've no need to tell me that.
The slightest exertion or strain simply wears me out.
Oh, by the way, they're asking me when I thought you'd be fit to answer some questions.
They? Who do you mean?
The police.
Police? What do they want?
They have never found the slightest trace of Hyde since the night he disappeared from the house in Soho. I have held them off as long as I can, but they're just frantic to interview you.
But what have I to do with it?
You knew him. They think you might be able to tell them something about his habits, where he went, what he did.
But I've never seen him either. Surely you told them that.
Of course I did. But they want you to tell them all you knew of him before he disappeared. Oh, don't look so upset, old fellow. I've told them that you're not to be bothered too much.
I'm not upset. I'll tell them all they want to know. But I don't think it'll help them much.
Well, they've got so little to go on, they're bound to seize on every scrap of information they can get. He seems to have been a complete mystery man. Lots of people have seen him, but hardly anyone knew anything about him. Poor little Hetty was the only one who was ever inside that house besides myself and Utterson.
They'll never find him, no matter where they look.
What makes you so sure?
I've had a letter from him.
A letter? Written since the murder?
Yes. I said nothing about it because I wasn't sure if I should show it to the police or not.
What does it say?
Oh, a lot of unnecessary things about past generosities I'd shown him. And that I had no fear to worry about his safety because he had a means of escape which he knew was infallible.
It hadn't any postmark, I suppose?
None at all. It was delivered by hand. I've got it here in this desk if you'd like to have a look at it.
You bet I would.
Here you are. Tell me if you think I ought to hand it over.
What curious handwriting.
Yes, he's left-handed.
When did this come? Not while you were ill, surely?
No, about 2 days ago.
Then he's still in London. The fellow must be mad. He's such a horrible-looking creature, he's bound to be recognized at once.
Well, I guess he knows what he's up to. If he says he has a safe hiding place, isn't that enough?
Oh, sure, sure. Well, let's forget the gentleman. Even the mention of his name seems to upset you.
But what shall I do with the letter?
If you like, I'll take it along to police headquarters. I think you'd be foolish to keep it from them.
All right. Do as you think best. And tell them they can come along and see me when they like. I'll give what help I can.
Good. I'll call in there on my way home. Oh, don't get up. Paul let me out.
Hugh, I'd like you to be here when they come.
You mean the police? Of course I will. I'm your medical advisor, and you can rely on me to see they don't take too much out of you. Now, don't let it worry you. You needn't say a word more than you want.
All right, I'll claim privilege as soon as the questions get too hot to be comfortable.
By the way, we owe a lot to little Hetty, you know.
Do you think I don't know that? We'd both of us have been out of the BMA by now if she had told what she knew.
I went out to her grave on Sunday. It was covered with flowers.
Was it?
If you sent them, Henry, make quite certain there's nothing to show who they came from. You can't afford to be connected with her in any way.
I'll make sure. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Well, Poole, your master's getting on splendidly, isn't he?
Indeed he is, Dr. Lanyon, sir. Getting his appetite back and more his usual self.
Oh, by the way, there was a letter handed in for him during the last 2 days. What was the messenger like?
A letter, sir?
Yes. I have it here.
No letter like that was handed in that I know of, Dr. Lanyon.
Are you sure?
Quite sure, sir. Nothing has come except by post and only circulars of that.
Could anybody else have taken it in?
No, sir. Maud, the parlour maid, is away sick, and I've been answering the door myself.
Oh, well, there must be some mistake. Goodbye, Poole.
Goodbye, Dr. Lanyon, sir.
Hello, Hugh, my boy. Very nice of you to come along and visit an old man. Sit down and help me sample this bottle of wine.
It looks a fine and venerable one, sir.
Oh, it is indeed. I was going through the cellar a while ago and found three of these bottles tucked away in a corner where they'd been forgotten. Look at the date, 1817. Older than I am.
By Jove, I'm in luck's way. Fancy dropping in at a time like this.
You never can be sure how the cork is held, though. Wait till I draw it. Oh, sound as a bell. They did things properly in those days, eh? None of your cheap, careless work then. Pass me those glasses. There you are now. Taste the kind of wine your grandfather's vintage.
Marvellous.
You mark the bouquet. There's the hot glow of autumn afternoons and the perfume of the south in that. A royal wine. Ah. Now, Hugh, sit down by the fire and tell me what brought you here.
Well, Mr. Winter, I want your advice and help about something.
Oh, I'd be glad to help you in any way I can, you know that.
Yes, I do. And I also had to have someone whose discretion I could rely on, absolutely. It's a very peculiar matter.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, then.
Well, it's about this letter.
Edward Hyde. A letter from Edward Hyde? Where did you get this?
I got it from Henry Jekyll this afternoon.
Yes, yes, I see it addressed to him, but it's dated the 25th, and that's the day before yesterday. Where did it come from?
Henry says it has no postmark. As a matter of fact, it was delivered by hand.
The man's in London.
Yes, he must be.
Have the police seen this?
Not yet. I intend to take it to them tomorrow.
Oh, you must. This is tremendously important. He's disappeared so completely that they've been afraid he's got away out of the country.
But you can see he seems perfectly confident of being able to evade them.
Oh, we'll see about that. He's got to show his face some time or another, and such a hideous creature as he is will be recognized at once.
You saw him, didn't you?
Indeed I did. When I was with my poor old friend Utterson, we saw him trample a little child underfoot and beat it with his stick. Little did we dream that he was to do the same to Utterson, only this time with no one to stop him.
You're an authority on handwriting, Mr. Winter, aren't you?
Oh, yes, it's been a hobby of mine.
What do you think of Hyde's?
Curious hand. Angular, untidy.
Have you ever seen another like it?
Not that I can think of offhand.
Compare it with this.
Let me see now. Yes. Yes, that's very strange. Where did you get this second note?
I've had it in my possession some time.
Do you know who the writer is?
I know him very well.
Then you must tell the police his name at once.
Why?
Because the man who wrote this torn scrap you have just given me and the one who signs himself Edward Hyde are one and the same person.
Yes. I rather expected you to say that.
But why are you so calm? Don't you recognize the importance of this? The first letter is written in an obviously disguised hand. If it really is by Edward Hyde...
Then I've only got to take the police to the man who wrote the second note and we've got our murderer.
We've got someone who's been willing to forge for him?
Yes. You're right. The thought of that's been weighing like a load on me ever since I saw the resemblance.
But why should you shield him? Anyone who would try to help a beast like Hyde deserves the worst that can be thought of him.
You don't know what you're saying.
But why? Who is he? Who wrote this second note?
Henry Jekyll.
What? Henry Jekyll?
Yes. Now you know why I feel as I do.
But Henry Jekyll forged for a murderer?
Oh, it's all a part of his illness. He had the most frightful delusions when he was unconscious. Times he used to think that he was committing the murder himself.
Mercy on us.
Yes. He was saying to me today that he felt he had no right to marry Margaret because he had some doubts as to his mental stability. And to tell the truth, I'm beginning to wonder myself.
Poor chap. Oh, this is terrible.
So I don't think we'll say anything about the letter.
I think you're right. Come. I'll throw it in the fire, and then we'll... We'll have another glass of wine. I've got a kind of chill in my blood. Poor Henry.
Poor Margaret.